Okay, Erin is our speaker today. She's going to speak on some passages from the chapter We Agnostics. Would you like a 5-minute warning when your time is almost up, Erin?
I would love that. That'd be great.
Okay, go ahead. It's all yours.
Perfect. Hi, everyone. I'm Erin, sugar addict, binge restrictor in recovery today. I'm really, really happy to be here. This is exactly what I needed in my day. I'm in a current Big Book workshop. Maybe some of you are there as well. And we're in it right now. We're in it right now in step two. And we're heading toward the solution. We're heading toward the solution. So, and you know, I've got a little time under my belt, and it's still like it's. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm here for it. I am open to the experience of these steps. I just want to be closer to my higher power. So, you know, I don't know what that's going to look like, but I'm as the kids say, I'm here for it. 100% or hundy P also as the kids say. Here's what I want to start off with today. I don't know what I just talked with God about this. I don't know. I just know this is sort of speaking to me right now. I'm on 40. I'm going to read a little of 44 and 45. And We Agnostics, to one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic. Of the hopeless variety, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. Isn't there a third option? What's the third option? There's no third option, right? There's no third option, right? I can either stay, you know, I can stay working so hard and my willpower, and I can try new things that are outside of me. You know, I'm one of those addicts that, yeah, if there's something outside of me that I can put in me that's gonna make me feel better for a few minutes, that seems like a really reasonable idea for about 2 seconds. Here's what, you know, some grace and a continuing connection with a higher power. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but you know, when I started working the Big Book through BBA, I felt like I heard for the first time that the outcome or that the sort of unfolding would be to have a closer relationship with my higher power, to have a closer relationship with God. That felt like brand new information to me. That felt like brand new information because I think when I had worked the Big Book before, you know, or the steps or whatever, you know, whatever ways I'd worked the steps, it felt like it was to work the steps to do it right, because I don't know about anybody else, but that is certainly, I really like to do things right. And when I heard people with much more experience with me, higher pay grade in recovery, say, "Oh, we work the steps to get closer to God," I was like, "Oh my God, that is the best news ever. That's the best news ever." Because then it doesn't matter how I do it. Doesn't matter how I do it. If I'm doing it with my conception of a higher power, it's all going to be all right. So, you know, to be, you know, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives. Like it's one or the other, right? So for me, I'm a sugar addict. So, you know, and hardcore, I've been in, and, you know, I've been sober from sugar for about 6.5 years now, but, there was no other option for me when I had the allergy in my body. I was powerless. There was the sugar was my higher power. That was it. So it's either that or a spiritual basis. That those are the two. Okay, well, but it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it's going to be that way with you, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. Now, here's where for me it gets down to brass tacks, right? If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life, I don't know what you all tried, but I tried all the things and all the other things. So books, tapes, people, places, all the ways that I thought, and with good intention, with very good intention, that if I just maybe sought the right, spiritual experience, but not, I wanted it to look a particular way. And I didn't know what I didn't know. But, for me, really reading books about particular spiritual sort of, practices, I really wanted something to work. But as soon as I started seeing it didn't work, I wanted to try something else, right? And by not work, meaning maybe it got hard. Maybe it, I didn't, for me, I didn't lose weight. I didn't lose 10 pounds in a day. It's not working for me if that's not happening, right? I have this obsession of the mind, and I have sort of this myopic vision of my life that if I can just find the right thing, an easier, softer way, everything will be all right. And nothing else worked until I found a spiritual experience. So, if a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, by which we could, which I could live. And it had to be a power greater than ourselves, a power greater than myself, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? So I'm going to leave it there with the reading because really, when we talk about, like, when I think about finding a higher power that is working in my life today, I don't know how to explain it, but boy, I know that for me, it is most often in my willingness to pause when I know the right answer. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody. But my life run on self-will. So I this today is a perfect example. Perfect example of this. And I really just felt like, oh God, thank you. So my life run on self-will. And it's funny because we're going into the homework assignment of, God is nothing, God is everything, right? So my life today. God is, when, if God's nothing, my life today looked like this. I got up, I was running late. I maybe, got frustrated, but didn't say anything to, my mom who I'm here with. I held it in. That spring started getting very wound up in my chest. I am thinking ahead about 4 hours to like, oh my God, if I can just get to the end of the day, if I can just get to the end of the day, then, you know, for me, that is then maybe I have a little extra or I have something sort of sexy for dinner. Like, I don't know what it means, but what it means is if I can just get to the end with, you know, just pure self-will and I'm gripping so tightly in that spring, there is nothing to do. At the end, I do not have a spirit, I don't have a spiritual solution at the end of that day without a higher power acting in my life throughout the day. And it can be the simplest thing, which is what happened today, which was like, I just started the day, like, I don't know what today's gonna look like. I have a lot of commitments today. I got a lot of commitments. It's a busier day than I would like. I'm not at home. I'm here on some work. I don't have to think about the end of the day. I can ask for like what my favorite question is, what's the next indicated step? I like a real simple question, and the next indicated step might be go and pee, to be clear. It really literally means but go to the bathroom, get up, go to the bathroom. What's the next step? You know, get your shoes on. Like sometimes I need to a hand holding, right, with God. Sometimes I really need a hand holding because I get a moment of jumping ahead in my self-will, and then this, you know, it the self-will just takes over. I will also say I can have the exact same day. It can turn out the same. Let's just say it turns out exactly the same. Two exactly the same days. They turn out the same, except for if I'm relying on God, that day unfolds with an ease that I cannot manufacture. If I'm not, it's a hard, it could turn out exactly the same, but it's a hard, the whole day is harder. It's just harder. And I am selfish and self-centered. So what do I want? I want an easeful day. And so that's the right use of my will, right? The right use of my will is to be selfish and greedy with God. As my sponsor says, when I first started working the steps, I remember saying to her, how much can I talk to God? Like, how often? And, you know, this is really, I didn't really have a concept of God. I was acting as if, but how often can I talk to God? And she was like, all the time, be greedy with God. And that was just such a, it was such an invitation. I didn't have to worry about what it looked like. And I just got to talk to God all the time. And I still take that under advisement. And so, here's another thing that happens to me when I am willing to take it a moment at a time is I jumped on this meeting at 11. There were some unknowable things in my schedule today, but this is something that happens often. If I just say, well, you know what? I'm going to do the next indicated step. And I was like, well, should I drive back to the hotel? It's like 11, it's like 10:45. I'm starting to think, well, maybe I could get back. And God is just like, you're parked someplace, you've got internet. Why? Just stay there, Imbrin. Just stay there. It's all going to be fine. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like that's how God works in my life. It's like, I do not have that spring doesn't have to get so tight that then I have to do something about it. Aaron doesn't have to do something about it, right? So, then I just sat there and it was like, okay, this is what's happening. And then I was an hour early for the meeting and I got to drive. Like, you know, my higher power is not this interventionist higher power. Like it's, you know, for me, it's not finding me parking spots. It's not, you know, what it is doing is giving me a life that where I do not have to abandon myself to food. I do not have to abandon myself because I am so uncomfortable. And for me, you know, that's always what anything outside myself that makes me feel different does for me. I just abandon myself. I somebody that I know just used this the other day and it's very much sticking with me. I just want a 15-minute exit. I want a 15-minute exit from my life, right? I just need 15 minutes where I just don't have to think about anything, right? That is the ism in my life. That is what that looks like for me, where I feel like I can't tolerate. And I'm really, man, I'm so grateful for this willingness, it's a real, I mean, I don't know. I'd make so much money if, I could give my sponsees the willingness that, has come to me as a gift, because I know that people, that there are people, and to be clear, I was in for 3 years, didn't work the steps, didn't get a sponsor, and was out for 14. So I'm really clear that, like, I belong here, and the steps are the solution. And, my higher power is, the one I go to first now. But if I could give the gift of willingness to folks, and, I wouldn't, because I think that's the journey, but there's the part of me, right, that thinks, oh man, what if for whatever reason I hadn't found the willingness that I have now, my bottom would be a lot lower, I guarantee you. And I'm really, I don't, my bottom, I'm just, you're a run-of-the-mill addict, like nothing special, that it's the truth of it. I am that way. But I'm really grateful that I don't have to tell a story. I don't have to tell another story about where I, that, you know, that, that, yet, right. There's no yet. Thanks, Sandy. I see that, honey. There's no, I'm hoping there's never a yet in my story again. I'm not there, haven't done that yet. I have had an experience in the last 3 or 4 weeks where I've been in a lot of discomfort and anxiety, and some of it chemical. So that's a real tricky one, because sometimes when I'm in that much anxiety, I find that what I like, how Aaron likes to be connected to God, doesn't look like what I want it to look like. It doesn't feel, maybe that's a better word. It doesn't feel like what I want it to feel like, because it most often feels very comforting, real. I'm plugged in. And I have a sense of ease around that. And there is this, constant contact. I want to finish by saying this is what I got to learn these last like 3 or 4 weeks in a lot of discomfort, is that I've been given a lot of grace. And that grace does a couple of things for me. It reminds me that this will pass, and that, oh man, I don't know about anybody else, but man, when I'm in discomfort, I often think, oh, I guess this is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. And so F it, I might as well, I guess this is how I am. And, so now I a couple of days of discomfort, I'm like, yeah, I know this is going to pass. And I had some time here in the last week where I was like, oh, like I sensed this lifting, but I did not like it. But what I got to learn was, oh, I can tolerate it. I can tolerate it. Did it look exactly how I wanted it to look? No. But did I, and when I'm in this place, I tend to think, if only I were doing it better. I go into my character defects 100%. If I were doing it better, if I were doing it perfectly, if I were X, Y, and Z, whatever it is, if I were doing it right, I wouldn't feel any discomfort. I know that to not be true, but when I get in a lot of anxiety and fear, that can come back. And so here's what God said to me. God was like, you're doing all the things. You don't need to do anything else. There, nothing else. You are not lacking. You are not at a deficit. You are uncomfortable. You are depressed. You are not doing anything wrong. And, to hear God say that, for me to be like, oh, shoot. Right. Thank you. Like, it was such a relief to just sort of sit in that light and love, and know, oh, right. I just feel bad, and it will pass. I don't know, man. That's a real gift for me, because that's recovery for me knowing that I do not have to eat sugar to get out of, you know, discomfort is a real miracle in my life. And I will also say this, I kept all my commitments. That is one thing about Aaron, pre-recovery. I'm going to cancel on you. I'm going to lie to you about it. I'm going to reschedule. I'm going to cancel again. I'm not going to show up. I'm going to tell you five different lies. And then, you know, that my life is unmanageable. I kept all my commitments. And it was reasonable for me to do so. It wasn't like I was overscheduled, but I have a lot of recovery commitments. I kept them all. I kept my work commitments. And here I am. So I can't do any of that. I mean, I can, but it's miserable. Like I have such a better time with God, who thinks I'm hilarious and loves me and, you know, like loves me just as I am. Yeah. God thinks I'm a hoot. And I love that. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. So, I think with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me share today. I really needed it. I needed to be here with you all.